Well, hello all listeners and welcome back to my podcast. This is going to be my review for episode 5 of Miss Marvel, Time and Again. So this episode opens with the Marvel credits that they slowly transition to a old-timey sepia tone, and then they transition into some old footage, real footage of the conflict in India, the independence of India, why Pakistan was created for the Muslims, and India was mainly Hindu, and the separation and the partition and everything, and it's kind of a good opening. It's a really good history lesson for all of those that, like me, that don't really know anything about the history of India and Pakistan, so I really like that aspect of this show, kind of giving us more backstory of not just the characters, but the history of the real world also. And then this episode really opens up with a flashback to Aisha. And so we finally pick up where the beginning of the third episode left off, with Aisha fleeing the temple and the British soldiers. And she has the bangle on her, and she is separated from the clandestine. And so she runs away into a nearby village, and she sees a man talking and giving a speech about British occupation and separation and everything. And this is going to be her future husband, Hassan. And so he finds her asleep under a tree, and he offers her help, and he takes her in, and he recites to her a poem that she reminded him of, and part of the line in the poem is, "What you seek is seeking you," which obviously was the inscription that was translated last episode by the guy from the Red Daggers, the inscription on the bangle. So Aisha, you know, kind of falls in love with this man. He's kind, he's warm-hearted, and they fall in love and they have a baby, which is Kamal's grandmother, little Sana. And it's really cute seeing little Sana playing, using the bangle, and Aisha taking care of her. And it's really sweet and touching, especially given the tragedy that happens to Aisha. And then the family has fallen on some hard times because of the trying to get rid of the Muslims from India. And then that's when Aisha meets Najma. So it's revealed that Najma did find Aisha. She lied to Kamala about that in the third episode. So she did find Aisha, and she gives Aisha one day to return with the bangle so that they can all go back home to the Nor dimension. And instead, Aisha gives the bangle to little Sana, and the family flees. And then we get a repeat of the story that the partition story about little Sana and the Trail of Stars and the train. And so we actually get to see that all play out and what really happened. And so we finally see the night of the train, the last train leaving, and Aisha reveals herself. She shows Hassan, her husband, the bangle, and that they're magic, which he sort of always said that she was magic, but never, no, not in a real literal way. So he now believes her, and unfortunately, she has to separate from him and Sana because the clandestine are tracking them. And so she gives the bangle to little Sana, and she runs into Najma, who says that Aisha betrayed her. And then Najma ends up stabbing Aisha, and then Sana has the bangle, and she gets separated from her father, like we were told in the story. And it's really sad because little tiny Sana is like calling out for her Ami. Then Aisha says the line of, "What you seek is seeking you," and activates the bangle. But then that's where we catch up with Kamala, and where we left off with Kamala at the end of last episode. So she catches up and she meets with Aisha, which is really kind of sweet. And at first Aisha thinks that it was Sana, which makes me think that Aisha was activating the bangle to whoever the future user of the bangle was, and she thought that maybe it would be Sana, but Sana gave it to Kamala. And so Kamala meets Aisha. Aisha gives Kamala a picture of Aisha, Hassan, and little Sana to give to her grandmother when she gets back. And it's really sad because then Aisha dies of the stab wound. We never actually see her die. I mean, I guess we do. She kind of like just, you know, stops moving. But I'm really hoping that maybe she's not dead. We don't know. So then Kamala finds little Sana, and she starts using those little platforms that she builds. And then one of the platforms breaks because of the crowd around her. And then that platform shatters. And little Sana can kind of control the shattered platform, and that forms the Trail of Stars that allows her to find her father. And so that's kind of an interesting scene, is that Kamala is the one that sort of created the Trail of Stars, but I think Sana was able to kind of, like, move them around as well, so she clearly has the same type of powers, because she also had the bangle as a kid, so that was kind of an interesting reveal that it was actually Kamala and not Aisha, like I had assumed, or that Sana had created the Trail of Stars. And then Sana finds her dad, and like I said, Aisha, we think, is dead. And so then Kamala wakes up back in the present time, and she's, you know, right where she was in the Battle of the Clandestines and the Red Dagger guy. And then the veil to the Nor dimension is open. And then we cut to Kamala's mom, who's, like, freaking out about Kamala not answering her phone. And I love when the cousin, like, mentions that, like, Kamala's mom can track her phone. Kamala's mom's like, why haven't I heard of this before? I would totally be doing that. And I love the grandma, like, compares Kamala to, like, the dog. I love Kamala's family. They're so fun. But then the clandestine members, they see the veil opening. They think this is their opportunity to escape. The other female clandestine lady, not Najma, I never got her name, but she tries to enter the veil, and then she, like, gets turned to stone and crumbles or something. And so it's just like the Red Dagger guy said, the veil dimension is going to come in and consume our dimension. So Kamala tries to stop it with her powers, and then Najma thinks that she can do it, but Kamala tries to stop her and tells her she needs to stay behind and be with Cameron and all this. And Najma is kind of, like, almost, like, corrupted by the veil or something. Like, she's, like, her character doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so she's like, no, I've left Cameron. He's better off without me. And I can stop the veil, close it. And so she closes the veil. She says Cameron's name and, like, somehow, like, her spirit or the veil, the Nor dimension, like, gets transported to Cameron, and now he has powers without having the bangle. So that's, I mean, I thought he was going to get powers, but this is how he gets his powers. It's not super clear how that works, but my guess is that because Najma died in this world with the energy from the veil, it would go to her son, maybe. I don't know. Somehow it activates his powers, though. And then that's where Kamala's mom comes in. She sees Kamala closing up the veil and learns that Kamala is the nightlight girl that they keep calling her. And she's not super upset about it. She, like, thinks about it, and then the grandma's like, I've been telling you the whole time we're magic. And the mom just accepts it, and that's it. And then Kamala gives Nani the picture that Aisha gave her. It's a very touching moment. I really do enjoy everything they've done with the mother-daughter relationships on this show, and the specific fact that Lo-Sana lost her mom, Aisha, and it's all very tragic. And so I really do enjoy those moments that we get in the show and in this episode specifically. And then Kamala goes to say goodbye to the Red Dagger guy. I think his name was Kimo or something. And then he gives her, like, his red scarf that he had. So maybe that will be incorporated to her outfit. I don't know. Again, what was the point of introducing the Red Daggers in these two episodes? They really don't do anything. I mean, the older man that died, he gives us some information that was not super helpful. We could have learned it other ways. We already kind of knew anyway. And then he just died. And then this guy just is going to stay behind. So it's kind of like, why did we need to have the subplot with the Red Daggers? I feel like that was something we could have just cut out from the show and really maybe used that time to flesh out the clandestine, who were terrible villains. So, and that's kind of my one big problem with the show so far, is we didn't need the Red Dagger stuff, and we need more character development with the clandestine, because they are very weak motive villains. Najma could be, and the actress is really trying to do her best. Like, you can see, like, on her face, she's trying to emote that she cares about Cameron, but, like, she just is so flatly written, and it just is really not a good, they're not good villains. I didn't like them. They're, like, only motive is to get back home despite destroying the rest of the world. She kills Aisha, her, you know, maybe best friend or whatever, doesn't think to check with Aisha's family to find the bangle. I mean, Aisha did say she buried it, but, like, that was a lie. So, I mean, you would check with the family first, right? They're not even looking for the second bangle, which has not been mentioned. So, they're really terrible villains. What have they been doing for 100 years? But anyway, Kamala's mom finds Kamala's necklace on the ground that's broken, and it's now in the shape of Kamala's kind of lightning logo. And so maybe that's where she'll get the inspiration for the lightning logo. And then we get a cute little scene wrapping up Kamala, Kamala's mom and her nanny, and we get another mention of Kamala's mom loves Bon Jovi, which I think they've done a really good job at making Kamala's mom not just the mom. She's really just like a full-fledged character, which is great. She loves milk toffee, she loves Bon Jovi, she really cares about her children, and she's trying to make amends with her mother. And I think they've just done a great job with Kamala's family and Nani as well. And so they all make amends and they kind of forgive each other and want to rebuild their relationship. And Kamala's mom now accepts Kamala and the powers and the stories of the magic and everything. So I wished it would have happened a little earlier, but I can see why we kind of got this reveal the way we did, of Kamala's mom finding out. And then at the very end of the episode, we kept back to Bruno, who's just working at the Circle Q, and Cameron finds Bruno, and he meets up with Bruno, and Cameron's like trying to bond with Bruno over Argon Element and Nikola Tesla, and it's really awkward. So they like restart, reintroduce themselves, and Cameron finally learns that Bruno's name is Bruno and not Brian, and he says, "Oh, I genuinely thought it was Brian." And of course, Bruno plays it off like he didn't notice or something. So it's kind of a little funny beat, and it's good to see Bruno back again. And this kind of makes me think maybe Cameron might be the villain for the next episode? Because we've already dispatched the clandestine. And so what is the climax of this show going to be? I think they're trying to tell us that it's damage control, because the very end scene is damage control has a drone that has tracked Cameron, and they're using it. And Cameron uses his powers to stop it, and then that is literally the end. It just cuts. And I really don't like these kind of cliffhanger endings, because it's not even really a cliffhanger, it's like just cutscene. And it's like, come on, let's finish out the rest of the scene, let's have a proper ending. I really don't like just cutting it, trying to like build some tension that way. That's really not good storytelling direction, and it just kind of makes me a little frustrated, because we're just cutting in the middle of a scene when we could just wrap it up. I mean, we could have just cut with the family scene of Kamala. Like, we didn't even need this little... the stuff with Bruno and Cameron almost feels like an end credit scene, because we don't get an end credit scene. We only had one in the first episode. So I kind of wish they would have just cut that out and made that the end credit scene, and then it would have felt a little bit better in the flow of the episode. But, oh well. So I think maybe they're trying to set up damage control as the enemy. And I don't really like that, because, yes, we got damage control at the end credits scene of the first episode. We got them at the end of the second episode, and then they were a little bit in that third episode. And then they weren't anywhere in the fourth or fifth episode. So it's not really a good villain to have for the show. And I'm kind of nervous now that we're not going to have a satisfying climax ending to this show that I've really enjoyed so far. And so, I don't know. If it's Cameron, then I feel that his turn would be too quick. If it's damage control, I feel they haven't done enough to set them up. And so, we'll see what happens. Again, Clandestine was a terrible villain. I still maybe am hoping Aisha is alive. I would love Aisha's spinoff, honestly. I think she's... The flashbacks we've had with her and the sort of lore behind her and everything, I think has been done really well. It's one of the best parts of the show, so... I would love a spinoff show. I don't think that they would do one, because then you have to bring in the rest of the clandestine, and I hated their characters, and I want to see them again. Unless they can write them better and actually make me care about them. So, I really enjoyed this episode a lot. I loved the whole flashback of telling Aisha's story, meeting her husband, having Sansa, repeating the train, actually getting to see that train scene, and learning that it was Kamala that led her to the Trail of Stars. All of that was great. Everything after that was kind of, again, reminding me, why do we need the Red Daggers? Why are the clandestine terrible villains? That last part of the episode really kind of highlights the flaws. The last episode, the fourth episode, actually had also. And everything with Kamala's family, her mom, and her nani, I think is great. Again, I really did like seeing Bruno. I wish we get more of, hopefully, we're going back to Jersey next episode, and we can get more Bruno, and also catch back up with Nakia, because I really liked the Nakia character in the first three episodes. So I would like to get back to that dynamic of Kamala in her city with her friends. Again, I don't know who the big villain is, what the end battle is going to be. And of course, I hope we're going to see her in her costume, and I would love that because I didn't like, I mean, she hasn't really had much of a costume. She kind of had this wardrobe changes that are kind of nods to the costumes in the comics and stuff, but I want her in her Ms. Marvel costume that she's going to be using going forward in the MCU, so let's get that reveal. I don't know if this is going to be a one season show or not. Maybe the last episode will hint at whether or not there'll be a second season. I don't know. I would love a second season. I would love a Ms. Marvel movie. I think it would play really well, kind of like the Spider-Man Homecoming movie. And I just would love to see more of Kamala's character and her family. I just want to spend more time in that world. So I really did enjoy most of this episode. Again, there's some problems with the villains, the Red Dagger. But I really love everything with Aisha and the magic aspects and Kamala's family. And I don't know where we're going next episode, which is, you know, kind of an interesting way to look at it and go into it, not really knowing what we're going to get. So I'm excited. I'm hoping that the final episode can stick the landing because I really loved those first three episodes so much. Did not like the fourth episode, and kind of 50-50 on this fifth episode. I think there's some great stuff, thought there was some bad stuff. So I don't know what the last episode's going to be, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. So thank you everybody for listening to the podcast. Come back next week for the last episode of my Ms. Marvel review. Stay tuned for future episodes of the podcast where I might be covering the She-Hulk Marvel show. So thank you everybody. Come back. Make sure to leave your feedback in the comments below, and I'll see you all next time.